The sermon for this morning refers to all three readings from Revelation and 1 John and Matthew. To start, I read two verses from Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John, in his vision that he was given, was asked a question. And so that's the format of the four little notes from today, our questions. Who are they? And what brought them through? What brought them here? For he said, "John, do you know who all these people standing are?" And he said, "Sir, you know them. These are the ones who have been purified. These are the ones with white robes. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They're purified by Jesus Christ." The very specific part of the vision that this is referring to is just a few verses earlier, which I just read also in that reading, verse 9. The question was about those that appeared before John in verse 9. Verse 9 of Revelation says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's who we asked. Who are these? They're the ones singing. They're the ones praising God. They're the ones whose salvation belongs to God and the Lamb. These that John sees in this vision are not ones who have earned salvation or heaven or eternal life by what they have done, but what the Lamb has done for them, washed in his blood, saved by his crucifixion and resurrection. And there's an interesting question and further detail that's right in these words from Revelation 7, 14. "I said to him, 'Sir, you know,' and he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.'" That little phrase there, "coming out of the great tribulation." It's a very interesting phrase. It's good for us to think about just a little bit. There is this idea and teaching in Scripture of the great tribulation, the great last tribulation. And Jesus talks about it. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And he says, if it were not for the grace of God, if it were not for the clothes, even the saints could not endure. It'll be very bad. He talks about a specific great tribulation at the end times. But also, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there are tribulations of God's people that God's people go through. Different times of suffering and persecution. And so when you look at this passage, and it refers to those standing in verse 9, that great multitude that no one could number from every nation and tribe and people and language, it's interesting because it says there, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Sometimes that those verbs and the tense of the verb are very important. That's the present tense, which is in the Greek, is ongoing. It's not like who came out of the Great Tribulation. That's not it. Who are coming out now, ongoing, of the Great Tribulation. Even at the time of John, he's very old at this time, about when it is written, 90, 91, 92 AD, last of the 12 apostles living, and the church is already suffering. They're coming out of the tribulation, they're dying, and the church will suffer up to this day. And there will be many tribulations of God's people, and then also a great tribulation. But we know that when a person suffers for the name of Christ, that's the great suffering for that person, isn't it? They die and suffered for the name of Christ at that time. So when you look at it, this coming out of the Great Tribulation is an ongoing thing. It is that final Great Tribulation, but it is also the death of God's people all along the way, leading up into that final Great Tribulation. How do those people do that? What is the situation that they're in, that they go through these tribulations? 1 John 3, the reading from 1 John 3 for today was very short. It wasn't long, but two things we note from it. First of all, in verse 1, 1 John 3, John says, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." We talked about this in Bible class this morning. Without the Holy Spirit, without faith in Christ, Christianity as a belief is a mystery and is contrary to sinful human reason. It's like, well, you believe in the rule of a Christ who died, and you think that being weak is not bad, and you think poor is not necessarily bad, and you have all kinds of these funny beliefs about afterlife. What do you Christians believe, and why do you believe that? And why do you hold to this book, the Word of God, you call the Bible? Without the Holy Spirit, without faith in us, it's a mystery. It's contradictory to human reason. John said, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him, did not have faith in Christ. And so if you don't have faith in Christ, of course, you don't understand Christians. Christianity can only be understood where Christ is known, understood, and believed. Otherwise, Christianity doesn't make sense. So the world, without faith in Christ, cannot understand the faith. We remember on All Saints those who did have faith in Christ. And not only our own members who died this past year, but those in years past. And our relatives who died in the faith years past. They knew Christ. John also says in chapter 3, verse 3, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." That is what's a necessary component of all of Christianity. When you believe in Christ who is pure, it is not that we ourselves have no sins, but Christ's purity becomes our purity by faith in Christ. Even though we slip and make mistakes and sin, sometimes gravely sin, yet faith in Christ, we can be forgiven and we are pure before God. When such a person is, who believes in Jesus, is pure before God, what does that life look like? And I preached much about this last year in All Saints, and he even gave the congregation a little bit of a writing on Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. It fits just here as well. When a person is pure because of faith in Christ, what does their life look like? It looks like this, as is recorded and Jesus taught in Matthew 5. He's talking about his disciples. And he says, "Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." This one's interesting. It's linked to John 3, 1 John 3. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Those who have passed on before us, passed on in the faith, were Christians' examples to us. They had these characteristics. They were poor in spirit. They mourned. They were meek. They hungered and thirsted for righteousness. They were merciful. They were pure in heart. They were peacemakers. They were persecuted for righteousness' sake. At times, they suffered for the name of Christ. Perfectly? No, they had their faults. But they were in Christ. So they are forgiven and pure before Him. And as Jesus said, they see God. These saints who have gone before us, they are in the joy and peace of God in heaven. Jesus calls this time until the resurrection a sleep. We can call it that. They are safe. In the graves in which we buried our loved ones, our Christian family, as the song said, as the hymn said, they're but a gate to heaven. They are in heaven. We're caretakers of sorts, aren't we, of their bodies, as we will for each other. Bury the body, watch over the place. But who is really in charge? God. The soul is with Him, and He will raise the body, and all God's people will be together. And what is it like when He takes us and we are together? From Revelation chapter 7, verses 15, 16, and 17, which was also part of the reading. "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That is how our loved ones are now. They're resting, and we will be with them one day before the Lamb of God. And the tears, gone. But the praises and true life forever are there. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, You sent your son, Jesus, who has borne witness in his teaching, in his miracles, in his life, death, and resurrection, that you desire your people not to die and suffer forever, but you want to give life, living water for today and into eternity. We ask you to always build up our faith in Jesus Christ, that our sins may be washed away by the power of his death, and that we are given true life in his name, and that we also be comforted each day by those who have gone before us in the faith, who are now asleep, resting with you, their soul with you in heaven, so that even though we miss them, we know we are not sorrowful like others who don't know what heaven is about or there is a promise of heaven, but we rejoice that they are with you. And we rejoice that we are walking to heaven, helping one another on the way, keeping one another in the word. Dear Father in heaven, continue to guide and protect us and keep us on the road to heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.